You have your Bibles tonight. We are going to be going through a lot of scripture, and we're going to be going through a lot of, hopefully, things that open your eyes. My goal each week on this is to have you see what was going on in the Old Testament. What was going on in what Christ did in fulfilling that in his walk and in his life, and how he fulfills that in our lives. So what was going on then? Why did God do it then? What was going on with Christ in these same things? And what was going on in our lives? I did not collate these, so I apologize. We'll get started in just a little bit. Hopefully the recording's not going, or I'm going to have a lot to trim. That's okay. So this week we're talking about the physical tabernacle itself, and later we're going to get through talking about the items on the inside. But if you have your Bibles, Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, and we're going to talk about the tabernacle this evening. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with the heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skin dyed red, badger skins and acacia wood, oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them according to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it." Father, I ask for your anointing on this word tonight, and I pray that the nuggets that you've given me, and even more, would be found by these tonight, and it would go deep within them and mix it with faith, and there would be a newfound understanding of what you planned and how it affects us today, in Jesus' name. I want you to go back and look at verse 8 of what we just read. "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." The purpose that God had for the tabernacle, for the dwelling place, for all of this, was that so he had a home here. And he had a home with us here. He wanted to come and live with us. We couldn't go to him, so he came to us. You'll find interesting the things that God told them to make, because he was very particular about how it was to be made, how everything was to be made, and what was to be used, and how it was to be put together. I mean, this was like an architect telling them, do it this way, do it that way. They started making it, started putting it together, and it's like, hey, this fits. It wasn't measure and cut, oops, we got to go back. It was to the T. Okay? Now, I'm going to do some reading here. I'm going to read the whole chapter of 26, because we're going to talk on the things in here, but I'm going to read it all the way through. There's only one place I think that I'm going to stop. I'm going to point out some things, but one thing I'm going to stop and read a different scripture and then come back to this. So if you have your Bibles, go to Exodus 26. "Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread. With artistic designs of cherubim, you shall weave them." I'm going to stop here. Remember the passage I just read? All the stuff that he asked them to bring? Does this start sounding familiar? It's the stuff that he wanted to build it with. He said, bring me an offering of these things. The things that he asked them to bring is the exact things that he wanted to use. So he was specific, even in the offering. No other place is he telling us as believers, bring this kind of offering. But here he was specific, and now as you go through this, you start reading specifics. I'm going to go on here. It says, verse 2, the length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be coupled to one another, and you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain and the selvage of one set, and likewise do to the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set. 50 loops you shall make in one curtain, and 50 loops you shall make in the edge of the other curtain, that is on the end of the second set, and the loops shall may be that the loops may be clasped to one another. In other words, he said, these loops, you make them at the same spot, because they're going to clasp them together with rings. This was how he was joining it together. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold, and couple the curtains together with the clasps, so that it may be one tabernacle. You shall make curtains of goat's hair to be a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains. Now before it was 10, now it's 11. Because the first one had to cover so far, we'll go over this. This one had to cover even farther, so it was even covered. So we'll go further. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and 11 curtains shall you make of the same, all the same measurements. And you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves and 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the forefront of the tent. You shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is the outermost in the one set, and 50 loops on the edge of the curtain of the second set. And you shall make 50 bronze clasps and put the clasps into the loops and couple the tent together that it may be one. At this point, I want to stop. I want to go to John 17, verses 20 and 22 out of the New King James. That's on the next page, 20 and 22. I do not pray for these alone, but for also those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And I'm going to digress here. Here's these curtain things. He could have had them made in one, but he had them made in two to be joined together. Israel and the church. We're to be joined together. This is a pattern of bringing them together, both houses. We are part of the picture of what God's doing there. He wants us brought together as one. Amen? Going on, starting with verse 12, the remnant that remains of the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that remains, shall hang over the back of the tabernacle. And a cubit on one side and a cubit on the other side of what remains of the length of the curtain of the tent shall hang over the sides of the tabernacle on this side and on that side to cover it. So in other words, the first one didn't touch the ground, but this one goes on down to the ground because it's staked out. It's pinned, as it's called, to the ground. And so it had to be longer to cover. We'll see that here in a little while. Verse 14, you shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red for the tent and a covering of badger skins above that. For the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood standing upright. 10 cubits shall be the length of a board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of the board. So that's anywhere from 15 to 18 feet tall. This is 9 feet to the ceiling. And so it's at least close to double the height of this room. Okay? So that's how long the boards were, and we'll see how they're stacked together. 2 tenons shall be in each board for a binding one to another. On the outside, thus you shall make for all the boards of the tabernacle. You shall make the boards for the tabernacle 20 boards on the south side. You shall make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under each of the boards. And remember the sockets, and remember the the two tenons. Remember all that because we'll get to that later. Sockets under the boards for each tenon. And for the side, the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, there shall be 20 boards for the 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under each side. And for the far side of the tabernacle, that's the back side of the Holy of Holies, you shall make 6 boards. You shall also make 2 boards for the 2 back corners. They shall be coupled together at the bottom, and they shall be coupled together at the top by 1 ring. Thus it shall be for them that they are for the 2 corners. So there shall be 8 boards with their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards. So if you get an idea of a wooden structure covered in gold, 20 boards this way, 8 boards that way, and 20 more boards back, gold with silver sockets underneath them that they sit into. Sounds pretty, doesn't it? Okay, we're going to go on further. And you shall make bars of acacia wood, 5 for the boards on the one side and 5 boards on the other side. And those had, the boards that stood up had rings in them. And so they had two bars that went to the top. They were half the width, the length of the 20 bars that stood up. So they came together as making a bar. And then the bottom, so there was 3 sets of bars. The bottom bars was, again, another 2 that joined together or met together, butt ends in the middle, to make up each one half of the set. And then 1 bar down through the middle that went the full length of it. So that gave it stability. So you had these bars holding those things from wobbling, moving. It gave them stability. And you shall make the bars of acacia wood, 5 bars from each side. Let's see, where was I? The middle bars shall pass through the midst of the boards from the end to end, and you shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold and the holders for the bars and overlay the bars with gold. So far, everything's gold except for those sockets on the bottom. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain. Verse 31, you shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, scarlet thread with fine woven linen. It shall be woven with an artistic design of cherubim. Does that sound familiar? Didn't we just read that a while ago about the first covering? We'll get back to that. You shall hang it upon the 4 pillars of the acacia wood overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be gold upon the 4 sockets of silver. Now, these 4 pillars or 4 things were the divider between the holiest of holies and the holy place. And that's what the veil was on, was these 4 pillars. And again, they had their 4 golden pillars and they had the 4 the sockets of silver. But that's what the veil, remember the veil that was split? That's what the veil hung on. So that was actually, if it wasn't in there, that would be like pillars that were a divider. If we had them in here, you know, you've been in some buildings where they've got the pillar in here that's holding up part of the roof. It would be like 4 of them across there, so you had spaces. So you had these golden pillars. You shall hang the veil over from the clasp. You shall bring the ark of the testimony in there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testament in the most holy. You shall set the table outside the veil and the lampstand across from the table on the side of the tabernacle of the south, and you shall put the table on the north side. You shall make a screen for the door of the tabernacle. That's the front part of the holy place, not the holy of the holies, but the front place, okay? Where it was a rectangular box. So there's also a screen here. There's a veil there, but this is called a screen. So this is woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. For their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast 5 sockets of bronze for them. I want you to go to the first picture here. Oops. Let's go to this one. Okay. All right. You see the bars. These are wooden pieces covered in gold. This over here is a representation of them. And the bars, through these hooks, they go through here to keep them stable. But here's the veil in the back, but in front of it are the four pillars. You've got the one on each side and two in the middle. So you've got the four pillars there. And that's where the holiest of holies is. So back behind that was where the Ark of the Covenant was. Up front here, you notice there are five pillars. You notice these here are, in this representation, these are a yellow color, representing bronze or brass, where all of these are silver along here. See the small picture over to the side down here on your handout? It's got a socket down here of silver, and the tenons on the bottom of those gold posts fit down into it. So you had stability from it kicking around there, and you had the bars up here holding it from toppling in and out. So they all added dimensions and strength to each other. And you'll notice up in the corner is the layout top down of the holiest place, the holy place, the five bars, or five here and the four there separating. I got to looking at this as we were going through this, and I saw in Exodus 26, verses 20 and 21, it said, "For the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards, and there are 40 sockets of silver, two sockets under each of the boards." Okay, so he's got gold, and all of a sudden he changes to silver for the socket. But the everything else is gold up to that point. And then at the front, he's got, we'll get to this a little more, he's got the sockets being brass or bronze. Verse 25 of that says, "So there shall be 8 boards on their sockets of silver, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under each of the boards." So the sides, the two sides in the back, all have silver sockets touching the ground. Well, if you go over Numbers 18, verse 16, it says, "And those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to their valuation, for 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs." Things that needed to be redeemed with money were redeemed with silver. The silver sockets at the base of the tabernacle spoke of redemption. The walls were made of gold. They spoke of God's holiness. Because of sin, God's holiness can't touch the ground except through redemption. His holiness doesn't touch the ground because of sin, but it can because of redemption. And this is a picture of Christ's redemption to bring the ground, us, we're made of clay, and God's holiness, his tabernacle, together. But for his redemption, that tabernacle could not stand. Isn't that neat? Did you get that? You're looking at me like, I need to talk to you later. The actual physical silver represented redemption in God's plan. And the gold represented his holiness, his house. He brought his house to us, and he can marry his house up to our earth because of redemption. Isn't that neat? If you go to Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself.'" Okay? "To the Lord. 'When you number them, that there may be no plague among them, when you number them, this is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord, everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel when you give an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves." And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial of the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for yourselves. The silver shekel was the symbol. It was the paying of atonement for yourself. Do you remember when Jesus told Peter to go get a fish and to take the shekel out of his mouth and to go pay your tax and mine? That was a full shekel to go pay the redemption price to the temple for Peter and for Jesus. It's hidden in there because we don't understand this. But silver is indicative of redemption. And so God used that in the base of his tabernacle to say redemption, or my tabernacle rests on redemption. My plan is redemption, to buy you back. Amen? Okay, but what about the front five pillars that aren't on silver? Exodus 26:37 says, "And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Their hooks shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them." Well, question is, why bronze when redemption is what everything else is? And why five here when four did just fine inside there? Anybody hazard a guess? It is the number of grace. Ezekiel 1:4-7 says, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of the midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze." Do you remember the... Can we go back to that? I know I'm making you jump. Remember... Yeah. Remember the covering up here and the veil back here? They have cherubim on them. This is a cherubim. That I just read was a cherubim. How many faces did it have? Four faces. But what did its feet look like? Burnished bronze. Okay? Let's go to Revelation 1:12-15. "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as it refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." John saw Jesus, and his feet were like brass. The angel's feet were like brass, bronze, instead of silver. Where did I put my notes on that? I had them right back here. Bronze, when we get to talking about the sacrifice altar, it's all made of bronze. Bronze signifies the sacrifice that was made. It's the sacrifice. It's the atonement. It's the area of bringing the sin offering to God as a sweet-smelling savor. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. What color do you think they're going to be? Christ's were, in that image, the angels were in that image. And I'm going to go one step further before I tell the rest, but I'm going to tell you about the Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." How many are there? Five. Let's go back to the picture. I'm going to jump you back there. One, two, three, four, five. The fivefold ministry is part of God's temple. You don't get inside to the Holy Spirit light, to the feasting at the table, to the worship, and to the Holy of Holies without going through. It's the only doorway without going through the fivefold ministries. And their feet are bronze, like Christ's feet, because they walk in the same sacrifice that he walks in. Think his temple was done on purpose? Isn't that beautiful? The ministers, the fivefold ministries, walk in the same sacrifice. When you're called, you're anointed and called to walk in an office, you step into that office, it's not you anymore. It's what he's built into you and what he's bringing into you. You walk worthy of it. You walk according to what the word says. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Bronze. Amen? Amen. Roman soldiers wore bronze shoes, or metal shoes, so they could walk across the darts and things that were thrown out. They look like big jacks that with spikes on them. They'd throw them out in the field, catapult him out there to stop the army because it'd go through a sandal. And so they wore these metal things so you could walk through that. You expect a pastor to be able to do that, right? Well, God does that. Isn't that neat? That is cool. Let's go to the outer coverings. This is a cutaway. You have this. I know you can't read any of this, and this is actually a cutaway to sort of show you the boards as they actually can't come together, and they don't have gaps in the sides like this one does. But it shows you the rods, even though they're supposed to be the outside. It shows you the placement and the veil portion and the screen, as it's called. But it shows the coverings in that all of them come down here to the ground and are pinned to the ground. And we'll talk about them here in a little bit. Except for the first covering, it's the covering, the first two coverings are just over the top. See, the lamb or the ram's wool and the badger skins are staked down. Okay. I wasn't ready for that, but we'll, there you go. In this, you'll notice that different places in the Word, as we go through it, you're going to find this. This is the golden altar of incense. Sometimes it's inside. It's spoken of being inside the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and sometimes it's outside. Remember what Zechariah was doing when the angel came and talked to him, said, "You're going to have a son?" He was standing in here, and he was offering incense because of his lot to do it. He was that close. He was right up against the veil in the temple. He was standing in the light of the menorah, and the table of showbread was there. He was in there with offering the incense and the cloud. Can you imagine how beautiful it smells? You go to a Catholic or a Lutheran service and they use the censer and it just gets all over the place, depending on how much the Catholic priest will put in there. Some of them put a lot, some of them it's just a little, but you see it come up. But eventually you start walking out smelling just like that. Can you imagine how he was? But he was standing there, and that was his duty to put the incense. It permeated his beard and his clothes, and all of a sudden there's an angel standing there. Angels aren't out of place in the temple. We'll go into that here in a second. the outer covering of the tabernacle, the go back to the very first one, the one that I bypassed because I had it out of place. The very first one at the beginning, where it shows the picture. This is this outer covering out here is white linen. So when you were out here walking along, you see how tall this little person is. You're walking along. You can't see inside there. It was a shield. It was a covering. And it was white, like holiness. And then the tent of meeting was back here. And the laver and the brazen altar was out here. But there was only one door into that, and it was here. But this outer covering that was like a vertical tent, like a blind, it was white linen, and it was to signify the purity. The whole of the tabernacle was enrobed in purity. All of the sacrifice, all of the washing of the water, the word we'll get into, all of the stuff going on inside, all of the activities were enrobed in purity. Because God's righteous act of sending Jesus was also enrobed in purity, because he was bringing us back so we could be family again, not under the curse of everything the devil wanted to bring into us, everything he did. The holy place and all of its holdings, let's go back to the one that has the now has the four coverings, you said does a better job. There you go. Now in this, the first covering, you can see part of it here, and the screen here. What you can't see is the veil, which is in there. The screen did not have cherubim on it, but the veil did, and so did this. You can see sort of like supposed to be a representation of angel's wings and an angel's head there. So that whole top of it had no ceiling. You had the walls go up, and here is the tapestry over the top of the Holy of Holies and the Holy Place of this tapestry of angels all along the ceiling. You ever been in a room that has mirrors on two different walls? You turn off the lights, you can still sort of see other ambient light and things reflect into the mirror and stuff. Think of all these angels along the ceiling in that tapestry. And you've got the menorah flickering, causing the light in the place. And these are mirror golden walls. Can you almost see that the angels would have done stuff like this on the walls? Kind of moving with the flicker of the light. You would see the angels' images from the ceiling down on the walls, wherever you stood. When you were in there, you were surrounded by angels above you and beside you, reflected. Amen? The light in there would bounce around. It would cause a light reflection. So you're over here where the menorah is. You turn the other side, and there's the table of showbread on the other side. But then you see the menorah there. And then you see the reflection of the wall behind you, and you see the menorah behind it, and behind it, and behind it, because you get the hall of mirrors effect in there. And all of the light reflecting from those are reflecting all around you, and you see the angels in the walls as well. You imagine it was a pretty special place. And God designed it. The second covering was goat's hair. So that tapestry was covered in goat's hair. The third covering was ram skins dyed red. The fourth covering, the outer covering, was badger. Some say porpoise. Some say sea cow. Okay? They have different names for it. Now, I want to jump back here because I want to talk about those coverings. The innermost curtain with its four colors and the cherubim woven into a fine white linen. The second covering was goat's hair. Remember Jesus, our sacrifice? You remember the scapegoat that went out into the wilderness that took the sins away from the people? Took their sins out of the camp? Jesus was taken out of the camp, led away to be crucified and die like a scapegoat. See, the cherubim and then the covering of the atonement, the scapegoat. Then it goes on and talks about the third covering being ram skin dyed red, also pointed to Jesus as our substitute, just as the ram was a substitute for Isaac. Red being the covering for sin, the remembering the blood that was on the mercy seat. As badger skins that had an unattractive outward appearance, so Jesus was a normal Israelite. Nothing especially attractive about him that would point him out as something special. He had a beard. Isaiah talked about that because it says his beard would be plucked out. But it doesn't say much more about his countenance, except that it wasn't so beautiful that people would go and say, there he is. He probably wasn't great stature like me. Probably didn't look like Fabio. You get these TV preachers and TV movies, and Jesus is going along, and all of the people are short Jewish men with dark hair and beards. And here Jesus is flowing with olive skin and blue eyes and flowing golden hair. He may have had blue eyes, because I'll tell you, blue eyes lineage goes through the line of David. But brown, black eyes, dark eyes go through all the other lineages. So in that, we see Christ in the coverings of the holy place. The tent of meeting, as the inner area was called, the tent of meeting, there wasn't anything special about it as far as what it did for sacrifice, but you can see redemption, sacrifice, holiness, and Christ is all over that building. We'll talk about the implements, the articles, and you'll see more. But what does that mean to me? How does this affect me today? Because I really want you to get three things each week. What happened then, how Christ is pictured in it, and then how it affects you. Doesn't the Bible say that you are a holy temple? A temple for the Holy Spirit? Where did God say he wanted to come and live? When you get saved, where does the Holy Spirit go? In you. That whole tabernacle is a physical representation of the believer. Because God says, remember the very first scripture? I want you to build a place for me to come and dwell with you. The Holy Spirit wants to come and dwell in us. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will quicken your mortal body. So the tabernacle, the temple of God, has moved into man, but that was a physical picture of what he wanted to do in us. Come and dwell in us. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He crafted each one of us just like he said to craft that. We are beautiful because he made us the way he made us. What about redemption? How many here are redeemed? Amen. We're told to be holy as he is holy. Sanctification. It's a picture of a redeemed life. Amen. Think about the angels on the tapestries and the angels on the veil. What does Scripture say about angels and believers? The angels long to look in on what God's doing in your life. these angels were over the priests and in front of the priests at the veil. And if you were inside the holiest of holies and Yom Kippur, you're putting the blood on the mercy seat, you've got the angel figures above you and behind you and the angels on the mercy seat. You were just enrobed with angels. Angels long to look into redemption and what God's doing inside you, the same way these angels were looking down on everything that was going on in the tabernacle. Most of all, God said, I will meet with them above the mercy seat. I will meet with you above the mercy seat. Mercy seat is propitiation. Jesus is our propitiation. We ask Christ into our hearts. So where does God meet with us? If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken your mortal bodies. You don't have to go to a place. He's in you. He dwells in you. Peter says that you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, that his seed comes into you, and you're a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. You become the holy place inside you, that God lives there. Commune with him. That's what he wants to do. He wants to come and dwell with you and commune with you. Now, as we go through the rest of this, I want you to keep in mind that the tabernacle is not something that Moses thought up in his head. God said, I want to show you, I want you to build it exactly from what I showed you in heaven. So this was a copy. And if God had this in heaven and wanted it here so man could see it, God could already see it. God already lived there. But now he comes and dwells in us. So we, having the Holy Spirit given to us, when you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit in you. It said the Holy Spirit is an earnest or a down payment of what's to come. You have a bit of heaven, the third person of the Trinity, in you as a down payment of what you're going to see when you get to heaven. They had God's Spirit dwelling in them here on this earth at that place, but they had to go there. Let's go back to the one you just had. Okay. Do you see how these were kind of pinned to the ground or came down here? The fivefold ministry, the five pillars, the cherubim. You see an angel here. This is a representation. You couldn't see this, so it was only on the outside. Then the goat's hair, then the rams, and then the badger. From the outside, if you happen to fly over in a drone or a plane or on a mountain, all you would see was that ugly badger skin on the outside covering it. What's that building for? But see, God doesn't look on the outside, does he? What did God see? He saw the unassuming. He saw the atonement blood. He saw the scapegoat. He saw his angels, and he saw his priest inside sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat, and he came in. This is what he saw all the time. What's he see when he looks at you? Unassuming outward appearance, right? Then he sees the atonement, Christ's blood on our lives. Then he sees the scapegoat took away our sins. Then he sees the holiness within us because he put it there, the righteousness of Christ. And he sees and wants to commune with you in the innermost parts of your being. Amen. Have you ever seen the tabernacle like this before? Isn't this neat? It's not just a building. You are the holy building that God's built up. We are a holy nation. Amen? Fitly jointed together, right? And remember the top coverings were into two main pieces, each one of them. They had to be joined together. The first one, the one closest to the inside had gold rings because of holiness. And after that, there were bronze rings. Farther away from God, God is good. He gives us little bits of insight as we go. I'm hoping you take a couple nuggets from here and you keep this with what you got last week and with what you're going to start getting the next few weeks, and you'll start seeing the whole building coming together. I'll give you a hint. It's Jesus. But you already knew that. Amen. Amen. Does anybody need prayer tonight? Let's close in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you're opening up your word. You're giving us enlightenment to our eyes. You're letting these things go deep within us and become rooted and grounded in us, that we grow up those crops of righteousness that we can feast on, that we can have fellowship with you. And I thank you that you make your home and your tabernacle inside each one of us. Lord, I thank you. We don't have to travel for days and hours and months at a time to get to a place where you are, that you inhabit us individually. And we thank you. It's through Christ's blood that our righteousness that we are carrying is from him. It's his righteousness. Lord, thank you for redemption. Thank you for your plan. Continue to open the word to us. Continue to open these things and let us get excited about what you did then, what Christ did, and what happens in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
V'chunecha Yesa Adonai Panav Elecha V'sham Lecha Shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom. Go in peace.